And a very good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in to our radio program, The Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. Each Sunday morning at this time, we endeavor to answer your Bible questions with a Bible answer. Today, we want to encourage you to write those questions to us to the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, 1369 U.S. 127 Bypass, Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 40330. We'll endeavor to answer those questions on air. We also encourage you to visit our website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of our broadcast, we will give you the meeting times of our services here at Harrodsburg, and we encourage to invite you to come to any or all of our services. You will always be warmly received. This morning's question comes from a passage that has troubled many for many, many decades. The question is, can you explain 1 Peter 3:19? Who were the spirits in prison that Christ preached to? This is a very good question and one that has given quite a bit of difficulty to not just Bible students, but the scholars. To begin with, we need to read the context of the passage. And to keep the passage in its context, we want to read beginning in verse 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 18 reads, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water." Now, this passage has given folks untold difficulty. Many have arrived at false conclusions that violate other plain passages of Scripture by not reading the text carefully and soberly. First, let us pick out some pertinent points from the passages we just read. Christ being put to death in the flesh was quickened by the Spirit. The Scriptures clearly teach these points to be true. Two passages. "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead and did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." John 19:30-34. "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead." Romans 1:4. Now, by that Spirit, he preached to the spirits in prison. The important part of this text is the adverb, when. When is an adverb that tells us the matter of time. It tells us the time this action took place. According to the text, what was the time of this action that Jesus spoke to the spirits in prison? The preaching was done in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. Dear listener, that means this action of preaching to the spirits in prison was accomplished prior to the flood coming upon the earth to those who were being encouraged to repent and to turn to God before the destruction came while the ark was being prepared. In these passages, we have a contrast between two realms. The physical, in which he was put to death, as we read in John 19, and the spiritual, in which he was made alive by the resurrection of God in Romans 1:4. There is no ground for the controversy on the Scripture when the whole text is under consideration. Does this paint a picture of Jesus off on a preaching mission while the body laying in the tomb? No, never. This text plainly states that the preaching was done in the days of Noah, before the flood, when the Spirit of Christ spoke through the preacher Noah. And he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, 2 Peter 2, verse number 5. Now, Peter would earlier speak of this salvation, saying, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." Now, in the context of 1 Peter chapter 3, we see the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets, and thus Christ spoke through them, being the eternal Word of God, according to 1 John 1, verse 1 through 3. Thus Christ preached through Noah to the spirits in prison, those who were condemned in sin before the flood. Now, they have now been in that spiritual realm, the Hadean realm, since that time. But their disobedience took place at the time before the flood. Yet the time when they could hear Jesus teaching through Noah for salvation that they might enjoy was before the flood. It is not now that they can hear it, it was then, when they had opportunity to do something about their spiritual condition before God. Now, listen, dear listener, let us think about this. Why would Christ speak to those who were lost in Hades, in the Hadean realm, in torment? Why would Christ speak to the tormented spirits in the Hadean realm? Can they change their destiny? Can they now repent? Can they now turn their life over to God? The answer to all those questions is absolutely not. The time for them to change was while they lived. Why? For then they could repent. Then they could change. Then they could turn away from their sin and God would receive them. Waiting until death was waiting too long. Therefore, now they were not in the position that they could repent. Now, let me help you understand. In Luke chapter 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Let me read you a few passages from this story in Luke 16. I'll begin reading in verse 20. "But there is a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to the Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he might testify to them, that they might also not come to this place of torment." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to notice something about this text. Number one is that this man died. And when he died, he found himself in torment. Now, he asked for some benefit from Abraham to allow Lazarus to give him some relief from the torment that he was in. But he was told that it was not now possible. And why? Because there was a great gulf fixed between the Hadean realm of torment and the place of comfort where Lazarus was. And then he reminded him that if he would remember the time and opportunity that he could have done something that could have avoided where he found himself in, was during his lifetime. During his life, when he had it good, he could have done things differently, and he would not be where he was at. He would be where Lazarus. You see, the time for him to change his attitude was not now, it was then. You see, and then he wanted Abraham to send somebody back to warn his brothers. Why? Because he knew how they were living their lives. If when they die, they would come and be where he was at. And his love for them, he did not want them to be where they were at. And so the time for them to change and not come to where he was at was while they were living. And that's why he wanted Lazarus to send someone back to the living, so they could have time and opportunity to change. You see, nobody can change his decision after death. Death seals our fate. Our record is closed. Our record and ledger is sealed. And it will not be open again until we face the Lord in judgment, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, and give an account of the things that we've done in this body, whether they be good or bad, according to the choices and decisions we made, and according to the Word of God, to see if they mesh together. For Jesus to supposedly preach to the unbelieving, or to those who have been lost in the Hadean realm, in the spirits in prison, would serve no real purpose. Not then, not now. So these passages must have other meaning. This passage in 1 Peter 3:19 is not giving people a second chance after death. The Latter-day Saints teach that you, in the Hadean realm, that we would be given the opportunity of accepting the Mormon baptism, that good Mormons are baptized for other people, and we can therefore then accept it, and then we can be in God's good graces. Such is human theology. Such is fanciful thinking. Man cannot change his eternal destiny after death. When he breathes his last, when the spirit separates from the body, then his spiritual destiny, where he will be spend eternity, is sealed. He will either go to a place of rest or a place of torment, waiting for the final day when the judge will sentence him either to a devil's hell or to be with God forever in heaven. But what determines where he goes? The life and the choices that he made upon earth. And it cannot be altered after death. In 1 Peter 3, verse 19, the spirits in prison were those lost souls that were given opportunity with the preaching of Noah in the Spirit of Christ to repent and to turn back towards God before he brought destruction upon them by bringing the flood upon the earth and killing every living thing in it except those who would be in the ark. They had an opportunity then, when their spirits were in prison, in bondage to sin, to repent and to turn and to come out and be given the opportunity of life. They rejected it. They are still now in the spirit, in prison, in the Hadean realm, in torment, unable to change their condition because they cannot repent. Look at the text. The text explains itself. Thank you for listening.